You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Dr. Lou Need. And today, you know, it's a privilege. It's an honor to be here. But I have a phenomenal guest with me today, Jenny Wolt. Jenny's entrepreneurial path is illuminated by faith. Now, it's reflecting 30 years of creative ingenuity and marketing expertise. Her book, The Quiet Place, weaves her faith journey through a guided photographic tour of Israel. And we can't wait to hear all about that trip and that journey, given what's happening here in today's media as well. So this is very timing to have her on the show. So I would love to bring on Jenny. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. So happy to be here.
Yes, it's an honor to have you on. Now, I know you took that great trip to Israel a while back. Tell us about your why, right? You have the book, you've written the book, and your path is directed by faith, but also you're using photography and that journey that you underwent. What was the calling that kind of gave you that clarity where to move?
Well, I started writing the book pretty much for my kids as the Christmas present. When they were little, I'd get up in the mornings, I'd get up very early, and I would write little notes to them every morning. They each had their own little notebook, and I would leave them a scripture for the day and just an encouragement for whatever I knew they were dealing with that day. So one day, one of my kids said, they're all grown, gone, you know, I miss my morning little touches from you. And so that got me thinking, and I was like, all right, well, I'll write a prayer journal and I'll write a book for them that kind of continuing that thing that we started when they were kids. So the first issue of it, I've been a photographer since I was in high school. And so I illustrated it basically with family photos.
Okay.
And then when they were so excited about the book, and then I just like became really passionate about wanting to do it and illustrate it with pictures of Israel, where Jesus walked, so that while you're praying, you can actually imagine where he was and where he lived and all the great people that we read about in the Bible. So it was 2020 at that time, so couldn't go. So as soon as the world opened back up and it was, you know, I was able to travel there, I went in March of this year, which I am just incredibly blessed that I got to do that. Yeah. And took my camera along and my husband, and we did a 10-day whirlwind tour all over the Holy Lands, and we went to Jordan and just spent the time taking pictures and learning about the area and really fell in love with the people there. And it's just been neat to be able to put it all together.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. My pastor actually just got back from Israel, and he was talking about just how breathtaking it is just to visit the tomb, and it's empty. Like, he showed us videos of that, doing that Sunday service and having to be around the people there, how they have different, the Jews have different cemeteries. Like, specifically, only Jews can be buried in that. So to walk us through what your experience was earlier this year when you went, what were some of the things that came up for you?
Well, we went inside the walls of Jerusalem, and walking around, I was surprised by the number of military that were there, not in a military role, but these are young people that all the young people in Israel are required to serve for 2 years, male and female. Okay. So these are 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, but they are also part of that required to learn about the history of Israel so they know what they're defending. And so they're at the Wailing Wall. They're putting prayers in the walls. They're doing the same touristy things that I was doing and reading, you know, the plaques that are there and listening to the people talk and have tour guides. And now knowing what's going on and that they are now having to protect their land, it's heartbreaking to me because they were so young, but also how amazing that they know what their what heritage they are protecting. And so that was one of the things that in hindsight and considering where we are today really just has moved me. And, you know, I'm praying for them all because we actually stopped and talked to a lot of them because I just was so interested in why they were there and what they were learning. And, you know, so that was a neat thing. Loved going to Petra, which is in Jordan. That is an amazing place to visit. It was, we had a torrential downpour, so we were soaked from head to toe, but actually getting to see these amazing sculptures in the mountains wet, it just brought out the drama of these pieces that were created. And also because it was flooded, we got to go inside of those structures. And no one had been allowed inside in 10 years. So that was neat. Just, although we were wet and we had to see that, it was really neat to be able to go inside and look at it from the inside and see out. So that was a really neat thing. And you can't help but get emotional while you're standing on the side of the Jordan where Jesus was baptized, or getting to see where he was born or where he was crucified. And one thing that just amazed me is in the area where he was crucified, they've created a clear wall so you can see the rock that his cross was put into, and it split after he died. And that split is there, and you can see that. And that split's mentioned in scriptures. Wow. So it's those kind of things, bringing things to life that you've read about. I also had no idea that Armageddon is a place. And so the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place in this beautiful valley. I mean, it is gorgeous. And it's just like horrific to imagine that this awful battle is going to occur there. And that, so just putting those things together from what you read in the scriptures to physically seeing them was an amazing journey for me.
Yeah, just the reality of it all and actually being there and having the opportunity to go. This was a very recent trip for you, and a lot has come out of that. It still is, you're reliving the residual impact and effect of it.
Yeah. Well, we made some really great friends, and in fact, they became like family, and we kept communicating with them. And now when everything's going on, they're texting me about every other day, just so I know they're okay.
Okay. Nice.
You know, so that's been fun, but also scary for them. And I keep telling them, you can leave without a visa now, so come. I just worry about their safety, but anyways, I was very blessed. We both were to get to go do that. So
yeah, it sounds like it was a powerful and amazing trip. And now let's, you know, push back what, 6-7 months later, and then the war that's happening now. Tell us about how that impacts just the journey and you having been there when it wasn't happening and with the present.
Well, now seeing the images coming out in places that we've visited have now been, you know, bombed and they're just demolished is just makes me incredibly sad. The walls of Jerusalem have stood through many, many attacks. And that's one thing that you'll see when you're standing outside the walls is the bullet holes and the shells that have hit these walls, and they've continued to stand and they are still standing, even though sustained some damage through this. So I just think about the architecture and the people, you know, in the biblical days when they were building these things, how much better they are than us, because you see the modern day buildings, those things are falling down. But those walls of Jerusalem, they are standing. So that's been interesting to watch.
Yeah, the difference is being defaced just with what's going on. Now, I understand the book it's a gratitude, it's a prayer. It's a book of prayer along with the pictures to kind of show the reality of, you know, what Christ was, where he was born and all.
Right. So the book is a little bit of a biography, me sharing my own walk with Christ and the way that he's worked in my life and the power of prayer, using myself as an example of things that I've been through. None of us come out at the other side unscathed, right? We've all walked a journey, but just showing where God has intervened in my own life to share that as hopefully an inspiration for others to draw God in and also walk that type of a journey with prayer. And so this book is for the prayer warrior who's been praying and understands the power of that for their whole life, and then also gives instructions to those that maybe haven't had a real deep prayer life before and maybe gives them some ideas. I know I talk to baby Christians that really don't grasp how to talk to God. They think there's some mystery involved around it. So it's kind of removing that mystery and giving them freedom to just talk to God like he's their friend. And so that's kind of what I hope, you know, people are able to do with the book. So there's lines for them to, there's prompts and lines for you to write your prayer request. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of us will run across instances where we have a friend that's hurting and we say, oh, I'll pray for you. And then maybe we forget, or, you know, it's not front of mind. So this is a place to write those too, which helps us keep those in front of mind. So we do make good on our promise to them and, you know, and give them comfort and support.
Yeah, I know they say prayer is you talking to God, and then meditation and journaling is hearing what God is saying to you. So let's talk about how journaling is so important, because you do have that embedded in the book, the piece that people can scribe. Let's talk about why is that so important.
Well, I think that writing down your thoughts and the way God's working in your life are important, because it gives you a chance also to go back later and go, wow, while I was going through that really difficult time, I can see where God answered those prayers or where I was blessed, even though it didn't feel like it maybe at the time, but it turned into something better later on. And I think those kind of remembering those things reminds us of, you know, that God does intervene in our lives, and it strengthens our faith when we can see that and go back and see him working. When sometimes it doesn't feel like it, we feel like we're alone. And, you know, and those are the times that we can say, oh, he was carrying me during those times, you know, I just didn't realize it.
And that's where the faith aspect of it comes in, you know, because sometimes there's a word that, you know, God forgive my mustard seed faith. Right. So there's that need to be faithful when you don't see it working, knowing that it is working all for your good. It is working on your behalf. It's just sometimes we lose that. It's hard to hold on to that.
Yeah. There's even a picture of mustard in Jerusalem. I mean, in Bethlehem, there's a picture from Bethlehem of mustard seeds in the book. For that exact. Yeah.
How does one hold on to that mustard seed of faith when their reality tells them otherwise?
I think, I don't want to say forcing yourself, but just making it a habit, continuing to talk to God, trusting that he is working in your life. And, you know, I have the benefit that I was raised in a Christian home. My parents were Southern Baptist missionaries. So I was always in church if the door was open. I don't know another way of life than constantly talking to God. And so sometimes that's hard for me to relate to, because I've always had that presence in my life, and it's always been very important in my life. I wasn't one of those rebellious teens either. I was very unexciting. But I think it's just, you know, creating a habit. So anything, you know, if you just keep doing it and you're like, you're just having faith that it's going to make a difference and keep moving forward, I think that's the best way to go about that. Just trusting.
Yeah.
And asking God to help you trust. I think, you know, he can give you, you know, that little, I'll ask often to just be able to hear the still small voice, hear the Holy Spirit, to know that he's there and he's working. So
a still quiet voice. It won't shout at you, but if you got to make yourself silent enough, quiet place, you got to find that quiet place and honor that quiet space to hear the still quiet voice. And a lot of us, we do this with meditation in the morning, with putting God first in the morning. Let's talk about, I want to talk about your morning routine. Just walk us through, how do you get up, dress up, and show up, and what's your morning routine like?
Well, I'm an early bird. I don't need to set any alarms. I'm up probably about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And then the very first thing I do is I go on in, make a cup of coffee, and then I do my morning devotional. Every other day, I then hit the gym. Then, you know, before that, I'll usually check all my emails. I have several businesses, so I check in with all those, make sure that, you know, nothing catastrophe happened. no catastrophe the night before. Yeah. And, you know, after I get back from the gym, I always, you know, get dressed. though I work remotely most of the time, I do have offices, but I'm usually remote. I get up, I get dressed professionally for my day because you never know what calls you're going to be on, who you'll be talking to, what you need to go see. I do make my bed every morning too.
Yeah.
I do have to wait till my husband gets out of it and then I go make it. You know, and then I pretty much hit the day running. I have to remind myself to get up and, you know, get outside a little bit, breathe, take a few minutes. Otherwise, I will sit behind the desk for, you know, it'll be 7 o'clock at night. And my family's like, are you going to leave? That's kind of my day, but it's pretty regimented. And it's funny, Elon Musk once said that he thought he was an early bird. And then he realized the bird still got up earlier than him. So he had to get up earlier still. And I figure at 3 a.m., good. Me and the birds, I'm probably up earlier than they are, but
you're up at 3 a.m.
That's yeah, pretty much. And like I said, I don't set an alarm. I don't want to be up at 3 a.m., but that's when I'm up. So
yeah. So you're cashing in early too. So if you're leaving the office about 7, you're looking for bed at 9, 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I usually try and hang out till 10 for, you know, to be sociable and hang out.
To do with life, family, everyone else, dinner.
You can probably find me pretty much waning off though about 9:30. I'm like, okay, is it legal yet? Can I go to bed now? Not exactly a party animal.
Yeah, you're like probably one of the earliest I've heard. I get up sometimes at 3 o'clock. Not every day, but sometimes I am up early and get. That's when the juices are flowing. I'm like fresh. I'm really fresh, and I can really do the deep work. I can write books. I can do anything in those hours, and it doesn't take much effort. And we capitalize on that.
Yes, there's limited distractions. So yeah. That's when I wrote the movie that we're currently in production on, Hope on a Future. I actually woke up at 1 a.m. that day, and the story had been churning around in my mind for about a year. I got up at 1, and by, you know, 7 a.m. or so, I had 60 pages of the movie written. So because you're just able to just, there's no distractions, it's quiet, and you can just pour all of it out and get it done without having to stop. So I love that.
Yep. It's a very, very powerful time in the morning to get a lot of the heavy lifting done without having to, you know, put so much effort into it. Now, I know the movie is, you're producing it, you wrote the script. So tell us about that. How did that come around? You said you've been toying with the idea for a while and now it's coming to fruition.
Yeah, the movie is called Hope in a Future, and it's based off my favorite scripture, which is Jeremiah 29:11. I wrote the movie actually for my daughter. My daughter is a pop artist, and during 2020, she had a big tour planned, and that came crashing down. And so we were looking for other avenues for her to express herself creatively and keep her going. And she was in a movie called So You Call Yourself a Christian, and You Call Yourself a Christian. And she just really did great. She ended up being a real, she was a major character in the movie. And I just loved, you know, the character she played. I loved seeing her in that role. And I just thought, began thinking about, you know, what else could we have her in you know, an acting capacity. And this idea just started formulating. And then, like I said, I chewed around on it for about a year. And then I sat down and wrote about 60 pages of it. And I shared the story with a few people, and people are just, you know, seemed to really like it. So then I wrote with a script writer, and we finished writing it, sending it around to a couple directors, and they were really excited to work on it. And so I'm working with a guy, Ricky Bruchel, there in Nashville. And we've created the sizzle reel for it. It's up on our websites. And we are now looking at adding some bigger named actors to the cast. We have interest from Regal Cinemas. They would like to take it to theaters. Wow. So we're super excited about that. But we just need some bigger names. So I actually have a call today at 2 p.m. with the casting director to get those names in there. So, and then it'll be finding marketing dollars. So we're looking to work with the marketing company that did Sound of Freedom, because they did an amazing job marketing that movie. So we're met them a couple of weeks ago. So excited to move forward on that. But it's been a fun journey, not like anything I've ever done before.
Yeah.
But it's been fun to watch it unfold. And people are, we had a big event and unveiled the sizzle reel, and people just seem to love it. So see where it goes. So you might see it in theaters.
It just seems to be seamless, you know, the way you're talking about it. It's like, yeah, I had a movie and I was with the script, and now I'm talking to directors and catch casting, and might be in Regal and you might see it in theaters. Like, how?
Well, this is where I just know it has to be of God. Like, the story just came so easily, and every part of this, knock on wood, so far has gone so easily, and people have just, you know, have come out of the woodwork and wanted to be a part of it. Omar Gooding stars in it alongside my daughter. He was excited to work on it. He said, you know, his mom was proud of him for being in a faith-based film. So, you know, one for the moms. Yeah. And it just has really rolled along really easily so far. So for me, I just see God's hand on it, because things don't normally just keep rolling along quite that smoothly. I mean, I stopped writing. Let's see, we finished the script 3 months ago, I think. And already we've filmed about 30% of the movie. So, and it looks amazing. So we're excited.
When it does roll seamlessly, we welcome it. We say, yes, more of that, yes. Right?
Yes. And then you just keep talking to God. Okay, what are we doing next? You know, just making sure I'm on his pathway and go in the direction he wants me to go. So it's been fun and exciting.
What's the next best step? But you have to be attuned. You have to be listening in to hear that. So I'm really, really excited. So when do you forecast that it will be coming out so that we can be on the lookout?
I'm hoping it should be out second or third quarter of 2024, I would think, at the latest. So we'll probably start filming the rest of it, I would guess, most likely in January. Right now, we've done some interviews with the cast on why the movie seems important to them, the director as well. And we're adding that all together to the reel, and then we'll be sending it out to investors. We'll be giving them a little bit of time to get on board. If that doesn't go real smoothly, I will be self-funding the rest of the production of the movie, and then we'll be pitching it as a complete project. But
that's very nice. So that's the process. That's how it works. You still need to. So after you have an almost finished product, then you reach out to investors to help with the marketing aspect of it, getting it in theaters, getting it in front of the people, ads and all that.
Right. In our case, the marketing budget will be far larger than the movie budget was, just because it cost a lot to take a movie into the theaters. So we're looking at, you know, about $5 million in order to properly market a movie to take it to theaters. So, and we'll produce the entire for about $1 million. So,
oh yeah, difference. Yeah, that is huge. And you're expecting the profit to cover all that cost, right? From
if we get anywhere to what Sound of Freedom did, I believe Sound of Freedom right now is around $150 million that they've brought in. Their marketing budget was $5 million, and I believe it cost $15 million to make Sound of Freedom, but don't quote me on that. I'm not 100% sure, but obviously they returned 120% investment to their investors, like after opening weekend. So it has done phenomenally well.
Yes. I didn't know that's how the movie business worked. It's almost just like pitching a business and getting it. It's a faster return with the movie, yeah, than a startup and a business, but it's very similar in that, yeah, way of getting investment.
Yeah, and in Sound of Freedom's case, they sold the movie, and then it sat on, I believe, Disney's shelves for 5 years. And then the producer took it back and said, I'm going to do this myself. And so his return on investment didn't happen very quickly, but once it did happen, it happened great. So he's doing good.
Fascinating. Yeah. So tell us about where we can find your book. Where can we connect with you? Give us the social media handles, all of it.
Okay. Well, for the most part, everything is accessible at jennyhalewolt.com. From there, you can reach all my socials. Everything's under my name as well, Jenny Hale Wolt, Facebook and Instagram. I don't TikTok. my daughter keeps trying to get me to do that. I have not adventured there yet. And I'm also on LinkedIn under that name as well. But from my website, you can access information on my book and purchasing it. It is available wherever books are sold. I believe it is actually physically in some stores as well. And it, you can also access information about the movie. So you can follow our journey there, because that'll be continuing to be updated as things change on the movie.
Very nice. Jenny, it's been such a pleasure having you on and sharing. Thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. I love talking about the Lord and all these exciting things.
Yeah, fantastic. Before you leave, give us your favorite quote or Bible verse.
That would be Jeremiah 29:11. And that speaks to, for I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So
I receive
that is
it.
What I hang
out. It's been amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. And that is my favorite as well. I would read that daily. So it resonates. That's why I say I receive it, because it is speaking to my heart.
Yes. Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you for sharing, Jenny. It's been such a joy having you on.
Thank you.
Well, all right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.